Let's turn to Matthew 3 and 15. Read you three verses here tonight in your hearing. Amen. Matthew 3, 15. And Jesus answering and said unto him, speaking of John the Baptist, who said, Lord, I have need of you to baptize me. And Jesus said unto him, suffer it or allow it to be so now. For thus it becometh us. It becometh us. Say, it's my part. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, me and you. Then he suffered him. I understand. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven, not just a dove, but that voice saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I want to talk about, he said, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. I want to talk about and teach tonight from this thought, the law of fulfillment. There is a law about reaching fulfillment. And I want to talk about that tonight. Lord, open up our ears and our eyes and all the spiritual senses that we have that we might comprehend what is the depth, the width, and the height of the Almighty God with all the saints. Glory to God. Open up our comprehension. If you open up anything, open up my understanding tonight that I might understand your words in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. When you pray, you may be seated. When you pray, I'm telling you to pray that, yeah, open up my eyes, that's good. Open up my ears, that's good. But you can have your eyes opened and your ears open and not comprehend anything. You need your comprehension to be opened up. You need to be able to comprehend what is being taught, what is being said in the scriptures. And my job as a pastor or a preacher, pastors have many functions they do other than preaching. But as a preacher tonight is to help open up your understanding. You know, the Bible says that his disciples were with him for 3.5 years. They watched all the miracles. They confused about the kingdom and thought it would be upon this earth and all these things. But the Bible says before he left, he opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Not just him and not just what he said, but what Moses said. The scriptures. So we need our understanding, and what my job as preaching to you is perfecting the saints, right? Well, the way you're perfected is to open up your understanding. Then, you know what? It's up to you. If you understand something and you don't do it, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we need our understanding open that we might not sin against the Lord, and understand that when we cross the wrong line, do the wrong thing, that we need to repent. Are you with me so far? The law of fulfillment. The Bible says to judge nothing before its time. And I mean, I'm telling you, I'm probably as bad as any of the rest of you. Or what's that? Oh, that doesn't look too... I'm not finished. And I want to tell you, every one of you are not finished. To judge any one of you is too quick. To judge any one of you of being lost or being saved is not my job. Now, I can say this is an apple, this is an orange, and I know the tree by the fruit it bears, right? But to judge what your final product will be is not mine to call, but it is his. He is the judge, right? Judge not, lest you be not judged. What a man metes out, it will be met back to him. And so judge nothing before it's time. Well, when is it time? When it's finished. You say, I'm finished. Okay, now we can critique it. But none of you are finished living for God. None of you. The grave is full of people finished. One way or another, they're finished. As a man, as a tree falls, that so shall it lie. The dead know nothing. They're finished. And then they go into judgment when you're finished. Nothing is complete until it's finished. The problem is too many people finish before they reach fulfillment. They're through. They think they're through. Well, I'm finished. You see, when you're finished before you reach fulfillment, you never reach fulfillment. Any job I ever quit too soon that amounted to anything, I wished I'd have never quit. mow half your yard and see how it looks. Sometimes I'll do the mowing and not the weed eating, and it looks terrible. I'll get that next time. But you're not finished. There's no fulfillment. I'm not fulfilled when I just mow the yard and I don't weed eat, right? Because I'm not finished with it yet. I'm trying to teach you about the law of fulfillment. It's never fulfilled till you finish something. And so when we look at Christ being on the cross, we look at him on the cross. First, let me say this. This comes to my mind tonight that when you look at the two thieves on the cross with Christ, we have an understanding of you and I, of the way we're saved and or the way we're lost. And so these two thieves had done wrong just as you have, right? They were sinners just as you were. And so they're on the cross with Christ. And so they both, the Bible says, they both railed on him. In one place, it says they both railed on him. And then one of them, as he was railing on Christ, then the other one railed on the other one. And he said, hey! And they're hanging on the cross. You know, and they're talking with Christ in the middle. And they're talking through Christ. That's how you got to talk through Christ. And they're talking to each other. And so he says to the one, he said, why don't you shut up? That's what he's telling him. Why don't you shut up? He said, you and I, buddy. He said, I justly get what I deserve. But this man has done nothing amiss. Now, I want to show you something. See, the other man said, if thou be the Christ, get me down, save, and save thyself also. Okay? And he was justifying himself. But the other man chose not to justify himself, but to justify Christ. And so he said, I justly. So you never really thought about the thief on the cross, but he was a just man. Just people. When the Bible says the just shall walk by faith, right? We should be just people, not like only people, but just, meaning we abide in justification, right? When Christ comes back, it's all going to be about justification. It's going to be justice, right? That's when the justice system of Christ goes into effect. And so this man said, I justly get what I deserve. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's all it took. Now, understand, this guy died under the law, not under grace, so he didn't receive the Holy Ghost speaking tongues like you and I need to do, but he did what, the sacrifice was on the cross, you see, the lamb was on the cross, the priest was there, everything was there, and so he's saying, I get what I deserve. That's repentance, true repentance, my brothers and sisters, and when you say, I deserve that, this is exactly what I deserve. But you see, the Bible says that when a rich man came to Christ or an attorney came to Christ, he willing to justify himself said, I'm raised like this. I'm Pentecostal all my life. I'm raised in a pew. I talk in tongues. I can do all these things. And he was justifying himself. And the master took him down. He said, well, sell all you got and give it to the poor. Can't do that, you see. So we have to be careful that we don't seek to justify our actions. As I've said before, too many times we judge others by their actions and ourselves by our intentions. Yeah, that's what happened. We judge other people by what they did, but we judge ourselves by what we intended to do. But this man took his own life into his own hands and said, I justly deserve to die. And when Christ heard that, he knew he had repented. So I'm longing for the day when people come to the point they become just. The Bible never said God was fair. It said he was just. And I'd rather you be just than fair. Because if you're fair, favor is not fair. I could favor you over you. You're my mom. I'm going to favor you. That's favor. That's fair. But it's not just. It's not just. And we got a just God. Aren't you glad he's a just God? Hallelujah. So I long for the day when people find fulfillment through saying, I was wrong. I'm sick of people justifying themselves. Just say, I was wrong. I deserve this. Hallelujah. And so too many people are seeking fulfillment in things that they never finish. And We seek fulfillment, all of us. You know, we have to have a job. We seek fulfillment in a job. We seek fulfillment in marriage. We seek fulfillment in having children. We seek fulfillment by going to church. We have a life with Christ. We're all seeking fulfillment. But fulfillment, hear me, never comes until it is accomplished, until it is carried out. That's when fulfillment occurs, is when it is fulfilled. Stopping halfway short never brings fulfillment. Paul said, I fulfilled, I finished my course. I've got a crown of righteousness. He didn't say that when he went on the day he got struck with the light. He said that in his last letter to Timothy. I am fulfilled. So it's important that we understand the scripture tonight, because what we see is Christ is on the cross. And we see that this man did not walk after the lust of the flesh, but he walked after the desires of the Spirit. And he says, if you walk after the things of the flesh, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you walk after the Spirit, you will fulfill the desires of the Spirit. Finishing leads to fulfillment. Finishing is an act. Cut my grass. Fulfillment is a feeling. Do you understand that? So it's what you do or don't do that brings the feeling of being fulfilled. I imagine tonight, if I said, how many of you want a fulfilled life? We would all. Fulfillment is going to come based on what you do. It's the acts you do that either brings fulfillment or doesn't bring fulfillment. People that make provisions for the flesh, they never really satisfy the flesh. You need to understand the flesh, the earthly, the carnal person that we are, is never satisfied. When they finally get what they want, it's not enough. One snort of cocaine is not enough. One drink is not enough. One bad movie is not enough. It's never satisfied. It's always emptiness, emptiness, and more emptiness. But I'm here to tell you, and I hope I got some witnesses, that serving Christ brings fulfillment. It brings fulfillment in every area of your life. But it only works as you finish things along the way. The law of fulfillment says that nothing is really accomplished. You know how many, there's way more backsliders tonight than there are people going to church. Way more. They never reached fulfillment because they never finished. And the biggest mistake Christians make in coming to Christ is they desire fulfillment before they finish. There's nothing. Anytime you try to get fulfillment before it's finished, you are messing up. The law of fulfillment brings no lasting feeling of fulfillment if you don't finish it. I can't tell you, and I'm not saying this derogatory to anybody. I may be you, but I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people and say, for example, like, went to college. Well, I only had one semester left. If I'd have just finished, and they're haunted by not finishing. They're haunted by, if I'd just went one more semester, if I'd have just done this. And it's many things in life. If you don't finish it, you're haunted by it. And, you know, you might say, well, you know, if you got to finish it, you got to be like Paul. You got to get to the end of your race. No, Paul had fulfillment of various things all along the way. Then the final fulfillment is a life. The life that you give up here to gain the life over there. And let me show you, what, as Christ prayed, you know, Jesus was both man and God. So as he prayed, look at John 17 and 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them by thy name. Well, we know the name of the Father was his name. It was Jesus. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition. You know what perdition means? Pulling back. It means pulling back. He pulled back. He could have finished too. I called him too. But he didn't reach fulfillment because he pulled back. That the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled, say, in me. Fulfilled in us. Isn't that what he told John? I want my joy fulfilled in them. Oh my goodness. You know, Paul said that my greatest joy is that my children walk in truth. I'm telling you, if you're a parent today and you raise your children, you won't have any greater joy than seeing them live for God. Finishing college is not as important as living for God. Getting a great job is not as important as living for God. Living for God brings the most fulfillment that anything can bring in life. And so Paul said, my children, all those that he brought to the Lord, said, that's my greatest joy, is to know that my children walk in truth. And then he goes on to say in verse 24, hereunto have ye asked nothing in my name, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Wow. And in John, the same writer wrote in one of his epistles, 1 John 1 and 4, these things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. You see, what Christ suffered that we might have the joy. He took the pain that we might have the pleasure. And he took all of our infirmities that we might have his strength. And so he said, we are fulfilled. He is fulfilled in you. So when you walk around with no joy, no peace, no love, no long-suffering, none of the fruits of the Spirit, it's not fulfilling the purpose of why he came. He came that you might fulfill what he came for. Are you understanding me tonight? So when you walk without these things, you are not fulfilling the purpose of his coming. You're not appointed to fear. You're not appointed to pain. You're not appointed to be afraid. You're appointed to live for God. Wow. Nothing happens until you reach fulfillment. You never have true peace until you reach fulfillment. True joy. Nothing really, no feeling of like fulfillment comes until it's finished. And no feeling of like, I mean, anything in the world or in God is going to be fulfilled. Wherever your desires are, hear me tonight, I'm going to go a little deeper with this. Wherever your desires are, you're going to get it. You're going to get what you desire. I might as well tell you, you're going to get what you desire. And so even when Peter's told the Lord, he said, I won't leave you. He said, Lord, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, you are an offense to me. He said, I tell you what, before the cock can crow, you will have denied me thrice. It sounded far-fetched. But I ask you this question. When did he cry bitterly? When it was fulfilled. He didn't cry when the little girl said, he knew this was going down. The Lord had already told him, after three times, the cock's going to go cock-a-doodle-doo. And you're going to realize it. But it was going down, but it wasn't, Brother Imboden, until he heard, it says in the Bible, when he heard the rooster crow, then he wept bitterly. It was the fulfillment of it that led to the feeling. As long as it was a process, as long as it had been another, he said, you deny me five times. It could have been five times, 10 times, 20 times. But when the cock crowed, it was fulfilled. I'm teaching you something tonight. Because when fulfillment comes, the feeling comes with the fulfillment. And he went out and he wept bitterly, the Bible says. And so when we look at this scene again, back about the fullness of God, the fullness of the Godhead was in Christ, right? He was everything that God was in the man. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. It was the fullness of God. It was fulfillment of God. And so that God brought forth his son at the fullness of time, made of a woman and made under what? The law. That's why he told John, you've got to baptize me because I must fulfill all of the law. I tell you, I've never bought a lotto ticket. I've never gotten in a pyramid scheme and never done any of those things because it maybe need the money or want the money. It's because I know it won't bring fulfillment. Not only do I not believe in it, it will not bring fulfillment. It doesn't bring fulfillment is when you work your way up. The Lord wants you to prosper. Prosper is a continual success. That's what prospering is. And so when you look, the Bible says, Proverbs, he said, he that is greedy for gain troubleth his own house. And there, boy, there's so much truth to that. Brother Buller was telling me about what's fixing to happen at his job, and they didn't give you that after 2 weeks of being there or 2 years or I don't remember what you told me. You're going to be chief of something. I don't know. Fire chief or something. You know how you got there? You stayed there and you fulfilled what your duties were to get there. And when you get there, it brings fulfillment. And I don't know if Brother Jake got there or not, but if he'd have stayed, he couldn't have. Didn't get there. But I'm happy for you. See, I'm happy for people that work their way up. Now, Brother Jake wouldn't be happy for you. You've been there a year, and next year you're police chief and over him. He wouldn't be happy with that. No, not at all. But we're happy for, and you should be happy for people that work their way up. That brings that sense of joy and fulfillment. And living for God is no different. You work your way up in living for God. We were all sinners saved by grace, but you need to work your way higher. Paul said, and I preached a sermon one time called Grow Up. He said that you may grow in the Lord. Growth brings fulfillment. So in our text, we find the creator of the earth. The creator of the earth is going to be baptized. And you know why? That it might be fulfilled. Do you know why he didn't die any sooner? I mean, you know, if I know that I'm going to die on a cross, I just say, kill me now. Kill me now. But you want me to tell you why he didn't die until the time he died? Huh? Till all things were fulfilled. And the scripture says, and when he said, I thirst. David wrote that. And he had to, that had to happen so that he could die. Because everything, he said, all the scriptures must be fulfilled. So when it reached fulfillment, then he said, what? Help me. It is, see, there you go. It is finished. It had reached fulfillment. Then he said, it's finished. And he gave up the ghost. And so we have the creator of the earth that's coming to John to be baptized. And John says, no. You know, you need to baptize me. And he says, no. It's got to be fulfilled. And when John said, when he told John that all righteousness is fulfilled with us, you and I, then he allowed, he said, he suffered it and went ahead and baptized Christ. Now watch, when Christ had fulfilled that, the Bible says he went, you know, down into the water. When he came up out of the water, guess what happened? What would have happened had he not went down into the water? The heavens would not have opened. We would have not heard a voice that said, this is my beloved son. But when he fulfilled that, and what I'm trying to teach you is, no, you can't fulfill everything at one time in living for Christ. But there are some things you can fulfill now. He couldn't fulfill the death till they said, I thirst, until he goes to the cross. But he could fulfill that. And when he fulfilled that, guess what? The heavens opened and it was sanctioned by God. This is my beloved son. I'm well pleased. Has he finished his course? No. Is he through? No. But he had fulfillment because he fulfilled what he was supposed to do. And if you will ever live a life of obeying the word of the Lord, what did Samuel tell Saul? Obedience is better than sacrifice. It was more important that Christ be obedient to the cross than just to die on the cross and sacrifice himself. For though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. There is no fulfillment of any kind that ever happens until you first make a choice. Do you understand that? Nothing happens till you make a choice. Nothing happens. It's like Elijah told the prophets of Baal, all those other prophets, choose you. How long will you halt between two opinions? You've got to make a choice. Joshua made the people choose. Moses said, who's on the Lord's side?
let him come unto me. You've got to make a choice. And when you make a choice, you will live out those choices. And the problem is, if you're not careful, you make a choice about a carnal thought. Now, let me help you with this. Too many times people make bad choices and come back and blame God for why my life and why I have no peace and why I have no happiness and why I have no joy. It all starts with the choices you make. And when you make a bad choice, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's the law of what? The harvest. Are y'all still with me tonight? Okay. I want to go to Psalms 81 and 10. Because, you know, people always choose, ultimately, what they desire. Eventually, you will find a way to get what you desire. David wrote some awesome scriptures. He said, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will. My, if you're hungry, I'll fill it. If you're thirsty, I'll fill it. Have you ever had somebody say, taste this? No one ever goes and gets a spoonful. You're going, I watched Ariel the other day. They was going to give her something to eat. And she goes, and even her, she knew not to open her mouth. Why? She wanted to put her lips against it. Taste it first. No wonder David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because once you taste it, then you'll open your mouth wide. Because once you like it, and I still like living for God, I can't get enough of it. He said, open, I'm the God that brought thee out of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But no, that's not what they desired, this old manna. This is angel food. I wish we had the garlics and the onions. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. They didn't want anything I had to offer them. So I gave them up. Now watch this. This is bad stuff here. I gave them up. I may give up on you. Your mama may give up on you. But I'm telling you, you don't want God to give up on you. I gave them up to their what? Their own desires, their own heart's lust. And they walked in their own. They became their own gods and judged them their own selves. I'm telling you, you will find a way, if your heart's not right, to walk after your own desires. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. I should have soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. Whoo, my God, they would have reached fulfillment. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. But no, they had to walk around for 40 years till they died off because they didn't choose what God wanted them to have. God's desire, I'm telling you tonight, under the fear of the Lord, is that you have peace, you have joy, you have love. That is his desire, and it's only going to be fulfilled in you. Nothing else on earth can fulfill why he came here but you. That's it. The world can't fulfill it. No animal can fulfill it. Only God's people can fulfill the desires of God. It is his desire that you be happy with your life and in your life. It is your choices. You need to come to grips with yourself and say, it's my bad choices and I deserve what I get. That brings peace right there. That brings peace to finally admit I get what I deserve. And a lot of times we preach about your heart changing. And how do you change your heart? How do you change your desires? Romans 1 and 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, I read you an Old Testament scripture. It hasn't changed in the New Testament, and it hasn't changed in the 21st century. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. Most people don't even know what you're supposed to do on the Sabbath or Sunday. They think that's another day to go hunting or fishing every weekend. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then it lists all these works of the flesh after this. And a reprobate mind is the worst mind a person could have. It's to believe you're right and be so wrong. They're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You can't save somebody who thinks they're saved when they're lost. You can't. And so the Lord is telling John that you and I need to fulfill all righteousness. But many times you think, well, Lord, I'll never get there. It's like starting out, going on a trip. Oh, we'll never get there. But if you just keep on and you just keep living for God, you will get there. And when you get there, it's so rewarding, it's so fulfilling to live for God and live in the promises of God and the joy of the Lord. He said, enter into the joy of the Lord. That's the fullness of joy. When you're in the presence of God, that brings fullness of joy. Anything else only brings happiness, which is temporary. So in the parable of the sower, and I'll close with this, because I could ramble, whether you know it or not. In the parable of the sower, the sower is about sowing seeds. We call it really the parable of the sower. It's not really called that. We call it that. It's the parable of the soils, which is really the heart. It's the parable of four kinds of heart conditions. The wayside, okay, that's the wayside was what's trampled down with the wagons and foot and all that. You throw seed on the wayside, throw seed out on the trail that cars go on. It's not going to do anything. The birds came, got it, said immediately, because it had no depth. It's not covered with anything. It's gone. And there's people's hearts that are wayside hearts. They're wayside. And you throw the seed out there and it doesn't last long. Then they had the stony ground. You know, that was those that, oh, I'm so glad I came to church. Man, I tell you, I should have been here a long time ago. But their heart is stony. And it says they have no roots. They have no depth. And as soon as they meet what? Persecution. As soon as they meet adversity. As soon as the sun came out and things got a little hot. See y'all later. This living for God don't really work. And they're gone. That's the kind of heart they have. And then you had those of the sticker heart, I call it. They're stickers. they stick you. Every time you're trying, you're getting stuck. And they bring no fruit to perfection because they're among the stickers. You ever had a sticker in your shoe? One little sticker? It'll make you hobble and you think, sometimes I'll try to adjust my sock, you know, like do that. Okay, I got it. Oh, no. Finally, you got to sit down and take that thing out. Take that sock off and find that little sticker. And there's people that try to live for God in the sticker patch. They're always listening and partaking and doing, and they're living among the stickers. And they never bring any fruit to perfection. Yeah, they got a little orange, they got a little apple, but it's not edible. That's the heart that they have. And then you had that of the good ground or the fallow ground. Okay, four kinds of hearts. So the question is, and it was posed to me by someone one time, how do I change my heart? Because I don't want to be lost. But I'm a wayside heart. I'm a stony heart. I'm a sticker heart. How do I change my heart? Well, let's talk about it just a minute. Fallow ground is ground that has been broken up, disced. Anybody ever ever heard of a harrow before? Not a horror like a nightmare horror. It's a harrow. And it's things that's got these teeth on it. And it helps to level the ground out. And if there's a root, boom, ding, and it'll bring that root to the surface. It brings all them bad roots out. See? The disc will turn it over, but it's still not ready. You've got to work that ground. It's good ground, but if you don't work, you got to get the stones out, right? Get the stones out of there. Get the stickers out. Turn the ground over, kill the stickers. But you still got to harrow it, you see? And you still got to get the clods out. And so before long, if you want a fallow ground, you got to plow it. And how many times have I preached to y'all? You said, boy, you plowed my road tonight. Good. Good. Next is the harrow. We've got to get out all the other things that keep us from being broken. And God has a way to break you. I don't care if it's wayside. I don't care if there's rocks. I don't care if it's stickers. The prodigal son couldn't be here, but he wanted me to tell you tonight, I know what it's like to be all kinds of ground. I've been them all. But I didn't become what God could use until I was broken. I didn't become whatever I could be in life. And I didn't enjoy living at home. And I was angry with other people. And I didn't like anybody. And I didn't like my life. And I was just angry until I was broken. And you know what? He reached fulfillment in the world. And he found out fulfillment is not satisfying in the world. Give me my stuff, Daddy. I'm going to go. And he took all of his stuff and he used it all up. Because he didn't work his way up to get it. He just got it. And it brought him all the way down till now he's got what he would feed the hogs. He's looking at it and saying, man, he fain would have filled his belly with that. That's how low he got. And finally, he reached fulfillment of the world is death. He was at death's door. And he sat down and he said, you know how come I know he sat down? Because he said, I will arise. He sat down. He'd had enough of this. And let me tell you, sometimes you need to quit praying people out of it. You need to quit helping them out of it. You need to quit working with them out of it. Because you know what? They got to get to the bottom. They got to get where they finally sit down and listen to that voice. Because as long as they're doing, and as long as they've got to, and as long as they have one more idea, and I think I can make this work, it's never going to work. But when they finally get to where they're going to sit down and shut up, he said, you know what? How many hired servants are in my daddy's house and have plenty to eat, and here I am. Now that's fulfillment. I'll just go home and be a servant. They got it better than I do. Tonight, as they come, I'm going to tell you, be happy in the state you find yourself in, because I will promise you the state you're in most likely is based on your own choices. And when you finally say, I deserve what I get, you're on your way up. You're on your way up. I justly deserve to be on this cross. But he's done nothing amiss. Just remember me when you come into your kingdom. I don't care to sit on the right. I don't care to sit on the left. Just remember me. He was on his way up, sister. He was on his way up. When he put himself down, he was on his way up. This day, I'll meet you in a splendid place. It's fulfillment. I'm going to take you today. You'll be off this cross, and we're going to a place of fulfillment. That's what paradise is. It's fulfillment. I'm here to tell you there was a paradise on earth called the Garden of Eden. It was called paradise. It was a place of fulfillment. And when Christ gave us the Holy Ghost, he brought us back to the place of fulfillment. I like the little song I sang Sunday, I searched for him. But when I found him, I searched how much? No more. Because it brought fulfillment. Can you say amen? Do you feel like living for Christ has paid off? See, people are looking for payment out of Christ. I'm just looking for fulfillment. If you give me joy, let me tell you something. I've accumulated a few things in this world because I worked real hard, but I'm going to tell you something. I was just as happy, had just as much joy when I had me a little boat that was a 14-foot aluminum boat and a 6-horsepower motor, and I slept in a tent for weeks. I was just as happy as I am today. Because you know what? I had Christ back then. I had God back then. And that brought me what stuff can't bring you. And I'll tell you this. If you ever go camping, don't put your tent door up the hill. Because when it rains, the water comes in your tent. That was my first camping experience like that. Me and another guy, we said, we're going to put our tent up where we can, like, lot, you know. We're going to look at the restaurant.
You know, we're going to look up to the restaurant. So we pitched our tent toward the restaurant. Brother Bullard, I didn't think about rain. And it came a gully washer while we was in that restaurant. We couldn't even get to our tent. We just sit it out. Lord, when we got to our tent, it was like a balloon. And the beds were literally floating. It didn't matter to us. We just wrung them out and kept on fishing. I'm telling you, if you got God, what does it matter? What else could you ask for? Come on. What else could you ask for? Stuff's not going to make you happy. Fulfillment comes in living for Christ with a made-up mind. I'm never quitting. I'm never stopping. Hallelujah. Come what may, I'm going to live for God. Is that the way you feel? Let's stand tonight. Woo! Glory to God.